you want me to start it, say. All right, guys, we're going to start with the song called Hosanna. So if you guys can be quiet and just find your seats.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds of fire, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith.
Now we're going to sing our theme song.
Take my life, I lay it down at the cross where I am found. All I have, I give to you, my God. Take my hands and make them clean. Keep my heart in purity, that I may walk in all you have for me. Whoa.
Take my moment.
Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing us here again to Week of Prayer, and that we have the opportunity to have Week of Prayer, unlike many places all around the world. Please help us to listen closely to what you are trying to tell us and to respond if you are asking us to become yours again or for the very first time. Please be with our speaker and help him to not speak his own words, but be your vessel and say what you want him to say. Bless us all and help us to have a wonderful day. Amen.
I can't get two. Wow, thank you guys for your singing. Thank you. You know, I think the reason why I was mistakenly identified for Pastor Fred this morning was probably the shirt I was wearing. It looks kind of like a Pastor Fred shirt, maybe. No? Yes? No? Okay. Anyway. Hey, I've got some emails from you guys who I've sent out birthday smoothie emails. Send me those who you haven't sent me an email. Send me your request, your desire for a smoothie. Something about Stephen, Pastor Stephen, that maybe you should know is that he likes to go camping. He likes to go backpacking. Anybody like backpacking? Camping? How about on the Appalachian Trail for 24 miles in one day? We did that one time. It was a lot of fun, except we lost a part of his stove, so we couldn't heat up our chili until we crafted a new ball bearing out of a ball valve out of wax. That was a lot of fun. But anyway, Pastor Stephen has more interesting stories than that, which he's going to share with you today, right now. So come on up and share with us, brother.
Thanks, sir. Oh, man, where are the choraliers? Where are the choraliers sitting today? Man, that was so much fun. I sang last night with the choraliers, and man, can they sing. Wow, where are my freshmen? Are the freshmen in the house? Oh, that was good. I had the best morning this morning with the freshman classes. Thank you so much. I'm having a great time being on the campus here. It's a lot of fun for me. Hey, we're already, is it Thursday already? It is. And this morning when I got up and I looked in the mirror above my sink, there were the Ten Commandments, like glowing back at me because I didn't wipe them off the mirror. And it was this reminder for me this morning that today is another day, and hence I need Jesus again. I need Jesus again. You know, if you have an extra $150,000 plus approximately $400 per month, you can join a fairly exclusive sort of a club. It's called the Alcor Life Extension Foundation. And for $150,000 plus $400 a month, they will do something very, very unique for you. And here's how it happens. When the day comes that you breathe your last breath and your heart stops beating, and a doctor is there to pronounce you clinically dead, at that moment, you will get just exactly what you paid for. And an emergency response team will rush in and they will snatch your body, your now dead body, and they will rush it to one of their facilities. Some of you have probably heard of this before. It's called cryonics. Have you heard of this? And they will rush you to one of their facilities, and the first thing they'll do is they will drain all of the water out of your body, because it turns out if you try to freeze a body while there's still water in it, that the cells will break, and that's bad. And so they'll take all of the water out of your body, and they will put this sort of human antifreeze stuff inside of your body. And once they have done that, they will begin to cool your body very, very rapidly, and they will put your body upside down in a metal canister, and then they will take that metal canister and they will lower it down into this huge tank full of liquid nitrogen. negative 330 degrees Fahrenheit, and your body will be frozen in time. Now, perhaps you've heard, have you heard this? There are some rumors that Walt Disney had this done to his body, and that he is frozen somewhere under the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. Okay, this is a rumor. I checked it out online, where we go to check everything to see if it's true or not, and it appears to be false. However, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of people, or shall we say bodies, at this very moment that are frozen in time. Why? Why? Well, what they hope is that someday, hopefully someday soon, that the medical technology will advance to the place where there is a cure for whatever killed them. And when that happens, well, the other thing, besides developing the cure, they also have to sort of figure out how to defrost a human body. And so once they have those two elements available, they can simply defrost you, cure you, and you will live again. And you will live again. Is it any wonder that people will spend $150,000 to do this? And it's not surprising to me at all, because I believe that God put inside of you an eternal heart. I believe that God put inside of you, when he created you, he did not create you to live for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Instead, he created you to live forever. And that is why when someone dies, it is such an awful experience for those of us who continue to live, as we say goodbye to that person, because we know that that's not right. We were created to live forever. And that's exactly what's happening, by the way, in the story I want to look at with you just for a couple of minutes. You know, when I first started teaching my very first Bible class, I told my students, I said, look, it's important to me that you memorize Scripture. And so I was wanting to sort of customize it for everybody. I said, look, you can choose what you memorize. You can choose what you memorize. Oh, some clever, clever students. You know what they chose, right? From John chapter 11, two words in English, and those two words are? You memorize that too. Fantastic. Jesus wept. And that's the story we're looking at today. Of course, you know that Lazarus had died, and Mary and Martha are frankly quite upset at Jesus because Jesus took so long to show up on the scene. And when Jesus does show up on the scene, he sees everything that's happening, and he stops and he cries. It's bizarre, really, because he knows what's about to happen. Like, if I was at a funeral and I knew that in just a couple of minutes I was going to turn that funeral into a party, that I was going to resurrect the guy in the casket, I wouldn't be crying. I'd have this, like, smirk on my face. Like, just wait till you see what's going to happen next. But instead, Jesus, Scripture tells us, he weeps. From time to time, a student will come to me and say, you know what, my friend is having such a hard time right now for whatever reason. They'll say, I just don't know what to say to her. I just don't know what to say to him. And it makes me think of this story. Don't say anything at all. Instead, the example of Jesus, he went there physically present with them, and when they cried, he cried with them. It's an amazing picture of Jesus. The story goes on. Jesus was deeply moved. He came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Now, I was sort of curious about this because I wanted to know why there'd be a bad odor. Now, I know that there's a dead body, but I really kind of wanted to know why. And one of my friends told me, and I agree with this, the cure for boredom is curiosity, right? And so I said, well, why would it stink? Why would this body? And I found it. I found it. I'm only going to read part of this to you because it's a bit disturbing. But a human body, the moment that a human dies, of course, your heart stops. All of your muscles will relax. The bladder and bowels also relax. After 30 minutes, because your blood's no longer being circulated through your body, it pools at the bottom of your body. Your eyes sink into your skull. I'm skipping a lot of this. Your eyes skip into your skull. After 4 hours, rigor mortis is set in. You know that that's just like this tightening of the body. After 24 hours, the body is the temperature of whatever, you know, whatever the temperature is outside. The head and neck, the head and neck are now a greenish blue color, which then spreads to the rest of the body. There is a pervasive smell of rotting meat. After 3 days, the whole body begins to bloat and swell grotesquely, and then we'll stop there. But no doubt, after 4 days, this body smells bad. It smells bad. Eventually, of course, they do remove the stone, and Jesus prays this prayer. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. It's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't call Lazarus down from heaven. Lazarus, come on down. Lazarus, come on up from hell. Instead, he calls him out. I've often thought of how different this story would be if Lazarus at death immediately went to heaven. How awkward would it be when Jesus shows up for this miracle moment and he's all excited and Lazarus come forth, and here Jesus has been like hanging out in heaven and where everything's perfect, and then he is resurrected back into this world, and it's like, really, Jesus? Really, did you have to do this? Instead, Jesus, of course, describes death as a sleep. He describes Lazarus as sleeping, and he calls him out of the tomb. It says the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus has resurrection power. Jesus has resurrection power. Can we have real talk for just a moment? I believe today in this room there are people who are not experiencing body decay as we just read about, but you're experiencing life decay. I am quite certain in a room of students like this that there are some of you who have darkness in your hearts because of things that have happened in your past. There are some of you, perhaps, who have been abused. There are some of you, perhaps, that struggle regularly with depression. There are some of you here today, perhaps, who come from broken families or families that are breaking. Perhaps you don't even know who your father is or who your mother is. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you never had your mom or dad say to you, I love you and I'm proud of you. And you are experiencing, because of all of this, life decay. Life decay. And if that's you I'm describing today, I want you to know that this same Jesus who has resurrection power for body decay has resurrection power for life decay. Your past does not have to define you. Your past does not have to determine your future, because this same Jesus can call you out, can resurrect you, and bring you up to live a brand new life. Now, I'm not trying to make it too simple. I understand these things are complicated. I'm not trying to spiritualize an issue, because realistically, with any of the things I've just described, Jesus is going to send some people alongside of you to help you with this process. It's true. It's true. But if that is you today, I want you to leave this place claiming that promise that Jesus has resurrection power, and you can experience a new life still. And if I'm not describing you today, you probably have a friend who I just described. And so if you do, my prayer for you is that you will seek Jesus and allow him to live through you, and so you can pass on his resurrection power to your friends who might be experiencing life decay. Because the most important thing is to keep the most important thing, the most important thing, and the most important thing this morning is a Jesus who has resurrection power for you. Let's pray together. God, we live in a world of darkness. Some of us are sitting here in the dark and no one even knows but you. And in the name of Jesus right now, I just pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will speak resurrection power into these students' lives. If they're hopeless, I pray that you give them hope. If they're sad today, I pray that you will speak joy into their lives. And I pray that each of us today would invite you to dwell within us so that we can pass on that resurrection power to those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.